pick up the phone with Julie Sharp. Hi, Julie. It's John Williams. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm great. How are you doing today?
Good. You're the president and CEO of the ALS Association's Greater Chicago Chapter. I want to make sure I get Peter's last name correctly. Is it Frades?
It is Frades. Yes,
Pete Frades. Yeah. I'm just reading a short story in the Boston Globe. Pete Frades was looking for a fastball as he stood at the plate in a men's league game one August evening in 2011. The pitch struck his left wrist. The lingering injury led to a diagnosis months later of, and now, how do you say, the amyotrophic lateral sclerosis? Is that it?
That's correct.
Also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The devastating news left him determined to help find a cure, even if it arrived too late to save him. He died on Monday at the age of 34 in his Beverly home, though his work helped raise millions of dollars by popularizing the Ice Bucket Challenge. His impact on ALS research will be felt for generations. So were you with the organization when this all happened?
I sure was. It was an amazing time for the individuals living with ALS and their families. For many of you, you may know that it's a degenerative neuromuscular disease. And over time, one of the aspects that can be affected is you lose your voice. And so for a less well-known disease that affects, you know, only about 15,000 individuals annually, he brought worldwide recognition, and we were the talk of the world for about 5 months, which is just amazing and such a gift to the ALS community. For those who are part of it and involved in it, one of the things we hear over and over is how come folks don't know about ALS and how devastating it is. And Pete and another gentleman, Pat Flynn, and another individual really brought it to the forefront, and everyone was partaking. There were over 17 million ice bucket challenges that occurred during that time frame. And believe me, we partook in quite a few of them here.
Yeah.
And it was a rallying cry for the community and for the world to come together to understand this disease.
A couple of my listeners reminded me that I guess the way it works is if you, I challenge you, and if you don't write a check, then you have to dump the water on, or somebody will dump ice on your head. But pretty much everybody who dumped the ice bucket on themselves or had it done to them wrote a check out. Everybody was just having fun with it and calling out other people to do the same, right?
Absolutely. And it was such a wonderful time for our families, too, because they were taking the opportunities to gather at their homes. And ALS can also be an isolating disease. So for the world to come together and their friends and their families and to have that sense of joy while all having ice dumped on you, and let me tell you, it is cold, and you were never prepared for that bucket of ice to hit you. It was just such a galvanizing, wonderful experience for the families.
Yeah.
And it raised a tremendous amount of money, which has had a huge impact, as you said, in the research development. Five new genes have been developed. There's been a 50% increase in the clinics that are sponsored by the ALS Association, which allows for access to patients who can have, life-altering, quality-enhancing treatments.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that. By the way, though, before we get to that, I saw in this Boston Globe story, I don't know if anybody's really able to say exactly how much money was donated, because maybe some of that money was going to come in anyway, but they estimated that it was over $220 million went to ALS research as a result. Does that number sound about right?
It sure does.
That's
it sure
amazing.
Does. And yeah, it's... But, you know, it takes about $1.5 billion to bring any treatment to market, if you will, from a drug perspective. So while the $220 million was an incredible gift and far beyond anybody's wildest dreams, it truly is, to hate to use the pun, a drop in the bucket to getting therapies and a true cure and understanding the disease. So.
Well, and I saw something recently about the problem of that, and that is... A lot of Americans have diabetes. A lot of Americans have asthma. A lot of Americans have things that if I came up with a drug, I would be able to get rich because everybody would take it. But if I have something as awful as, say, ALS, if enough people don't need it, then it'll always be hard for me to make back that $1.5 billion. So as a result of that, I either have to make the drug wildly expensive, which makes it inaccessible, or I just don't develop the drug because there's no profit motive, and therefore it's inaccessible. So it's kind of a catch-22 for somebody like you, isn't it?
It sure is. I will say one of the things we were able to help bring to market was an FDA guidance document, which is the first ever document that helps influence drug development and trials and access and more. It also has allowed us to invest in helping bring different types of research companies to the table with different discussions, and maybe there's already drugs sitting on a shelf that for one reason or another just haven't been brought to market, and maybe they just need help getting it past that goalpost. And, you know, what's already sitting out there that can make a huge difference? And you are correct, but at the same time, there are some amazing things that are happening, and there's ways that you can look at targeting certain genes that may make it more accessible. Down the road, it may be different types of ALS too, not just like cancer. There's many different types of cancer that have been discovered. There's not just one form of ALS. So finding out what those biomarkers are, what those genes are, and then going in and maybe looking at technologies and therapies that can then go in and target, maybe we'll have, we will, I'm not going to say maybe, we will have therapies on the horizon and treatments on the horizon. I'm very encouraged. I've been in this role now for nearly 14 years, and what has been happening in the research arena is just remarkable. And a real catalyst in that was the ice bucket, which brought it to the forefront of, you know, the physicians and the clinicians and the researchers.
I had a question about where that is right now. I'm going to take a quick commercial break and come back with you. Let's finish this conversation on the other side. I'm also glad that you mentioned, too, how isolating an illness like this can be. I guess any of them can be, but maybe this particularly. And the idea that we were all now acting silly and having fun and raising money and not celebrating this disease, but at least recognizing these different people and saying they're out there and we're supporting you in the craziest way we can, and maybe the most important way we can. I never thought about it in those terms. I'm glad you reminded us of that as well. Julie Sharp's with the ALS Association here in Illinois. So just one last question then about what kind of research is going on. Are we looking for a pill? Are we looking for a procedure? Let's finish this conversation in a minute.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad brag. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Mortal words of legendary Yankees first baseman Lou Gehrig, the disease ALS named after him, of course, particularly after he gave that speech, described why his numbers had fallen off and what he was going through. By the way, another part about Lou Gehrig's speech, this is, they usually cut it there. What he said next, I think, was really, really good.
When you look around, wouldn't you consider it privilege? To associate yourself with such a fine-looking man as is standing in uniform in this ballpark today.
The other players were lined up along the line, and so while it was about him, he then sort of doffed his cap to them and said, you know, these are some swell fellas here, too. What a thoughtful thing to say. And then at the end of the speech, he said this.
That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
An awful lot to live for. But it is terminal. And Pete Frates, the man who popularized the Ice Bucket Challenge, has passed away. At the age of 34, just a last minute with Julie Sharp from the association here in Illinois. Julie, I'm sure you've heard that speech more than once, huh?
I sure have. And every time, it still resonates. It's
Doesn't
been over 80 years now since he stood in the mound and shared the with the world.
Julie, as the president and CEO of the ALS Association of Greater Chicago Chapter, just one last quick thing before we go. If I wanted to make a donation to your organization, I suppose there's an easy way to do it at your website, right?
Yes, there sure is, which is ALSAChicago.org, and there's a donate button right there, and you can make a huge impact in the lives of individuals living with ALS. We really do focus on living with ALS as opposed to dying from ALS. I know that that's semantics, but it really can change an individual's mindset, because there are some really great quality of life enhancing technologies and therapies now. And just as he said, he looked around and saw all those fine folks, so many of the individuals that we serve and that we care for and consider it a privilege to walk alongside of. They have such tremendous courage. And, you know, if you could emulate so many of these individuals and the courage it takes every day to get up and to live with ALS and to focus on the positive.
Yeah, I guess that's the way we regard HIV and AIDS, right? I don't know that we have a cure for it per se, but people are able to live natural lives now, even though they're so afflicted. If we were so fortunate as to come up with something for the various forms of ALS, then that's not semantics at all. I think that's a worthwhile goal. Good luck to you guys on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're going to find it. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, when you were talking earlier about the isolation, I just want to say you brought so much joy and smile after smile to the folks who enjoyed watching all the ice bucket challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I went back and was researching a little bit about that. And I said to my producer, I said, Elif, we did one, right? And then I looked it up on our website and I couldn't find the video, but I did it with my dog Bingo. Bingo and I poured, I had a little tiny ice bucket, I guess, and I poured it on little Bingo's head. And I don't know what the point of that was. I don't know that Bingo loved it or certainly understood. Maybe the idea was that I was calling out other dog owners to make a donation as well or something. But we all took our turn, and it's never too late to help out. Well, good luck to you, Julie. Thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you so much. And the Frady's family is in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
What an impact he made in this world and still will be making.
Julie Sharp, President and CEO of the ALS Association, Greater Chicago Chapter. Have a good day, Julie. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.